It's great to have you here on this Sunday. It's a wonderful and a beautiful day. Is it summer or is it spring now? This morning when you got up, I needed a jacket. It was kind of nice, wasn't it? It's great to have that. Last week, we had Reverend Alan Eaton, a guest preacher, come and speak to us about God, who as a loving parent, a loving father, or a loving mother. And the story of the prodigal son, how God is one who opens his arms to us, no matter who we are, or no matter what our need is. God is a loving God. That's the way God is. Today, I want to talk some, do some reflections about our youth mission trip to Tennessee this year. For those of you who've been with us, you know about the Appalachian Service Project. For those of you that are new today or visiting with us today, just to share a little bit about that. The Appalachian Service Project, or ASP as it's known, is a discipleship training youth program that trains youth through home repair. We travel to the Appalachian Mountains where people are in need of people to repair their homes, but youth do it with adults so they can learn about discipleship. They do learn about other things, how to put on a roof, how to dig a hole, how to paint, all those things, but mostly learning how to serve God by helping others. The program next year will be 40 years old, and this year alone, 14,000 adults and youth from mostly the eastern United States will be traveling as part of the program. It's a wonderful and an awesome thing. Our group this year, we started the program 9 years ago with 13 of us, not knowing how it was going to go. 3 years ago, we had over 40. 2 years ago, we had about 45. This year, we had 58 go. And 73 people were interested. I think people are just nuts, don't you? It's just kind of crazy. But it's a wonderful thing. When we meet on Saturday here. We leave the church. We stop in Cincinnati and stay at a church for the right before we go down there. And then when we get there, usually we stay at a center. And this year we stayed at an old elementary school in Scott County, Tennessee. Old elementary school. There we go. You see the luxurious accommodations that we had? We sleep on the classroom floors, all of us. We had showers outside with plastic around it. It doesn't get any better than that. We had breakfast served to us in the cafeteria, and we had to cook it and clean up ourselves. I mean, you're talking luxury here. But we had to stay there. That was the place we stayed. And usually in the mornings, Monday through Friday, we got up early, and we had to pack our vehicles with tools and supplies. Now, we were supposed to be packing, but if you notice in this picture, the guys we took, they don't have nothing in their hands to pack. So I don't know what that's about. They're just not doing their job. So we usually pack up and then we go to our work site. This year, usually I don't talk too much about it. I let our ASP team share that with you. And you know, I really don't want to brag often, but I do want to tell you this year, I worked really hard. Who laughed? I worked really hard this year. And you know, here at the church as the pastor, I'm in charge of a few things. But this year on ASP, I was in charge of a lot of things. First of all, I was in charge of making sure people use the caulk gun correctly. Secondly, I was in charge of making sure people dig holes correctly. Third, I was in charge of making sure the kittens stayed happy. You know, if the kittens go on strike, you're in trouble, right? The workplace shuts down. Third, I was in charge of modeling funny-looking knee pads and pants while standing on a roof. Finally, I was in charge of holding up the chimney when I wasn't doing everything else. And that was the toughest job right there. On August 3rd, you're going to hear about people how they dug holes and lifted out rocks. I had to hold up a whole chimney right there. That's hard stuff to do. Thank you, Steve. Actually, this year, our crew was in charge of putting on a roof, a green tin roof. And for those of you that know me, you know, I'm not really construction-wise. I don't do very good with my hands or with tools. And so when we got down there, somebody handed me the file to put on a roof. And I had never done that before. I'd worked with shingle roofs. I'd tore off some roofs. I'd done some of those things. But I'd never put on a tin roof before, and I was very nervous about it. The day before I was going out to look at the site, I went around to all our men who knew construction. And we got people that know a lot of stuff. And I said, you know, this is what I've got to do, tin roof. I don't know what I'm doing. How do you put on a tin roof? And all of them kind of looked at me and said, well, I don't know. I mean, these are construction guys. So they had never put on a tin roof before. And all of them, I asked people from the other crew, from the other church. They didn't know. I asked the staff. They didn't know. So, you know, here I am, a pastor, who doesn't use these very well. I'm in charge of a roof. And the roof's been torn off. If you don't get some on, guess what's coming? The rain. We go out Sunday night, we meet the family. It's a wonderful family, a husband and a wife. The husband is a real talker. He talks up a storm, and then their two children live on either side of them in the homes beside them. A wonderful setup. We got to know them. We took a look at the roof, and the plastic was covering everything. We also found out that over the weekend, a storm had hit, and the plastic got blown up. And not only did the plastic got blown up, but 2x4s were flying through the air off the roof. You got to do it right. I was really nervous. You don't want to mess this up. Especially somebody that's in need, you don't want to mess up and let rain gush into their house. On Monday morning, we went back, and we understood we were supposed to, our job was just to put the roof on, but no roofing was there. There was no tin there yet. It was supposed to be delivered on Monday. It did not show up. So we took the plastic off. We looked at the roof. We cut some 2x4s and supported some boards that had some water damage on them. Then we kind of sat and wait. We sat on the front porch with the family, and the husband, the gentleman who lived at the house, turned to me and he said, and I don't like this question down there. He turned to me and he said, "So what do you do for a living?" And I usually try to keep that quiet for a while, right? You know, who wants a pastor with power saws on their house? You just don't want that. And I know he was hoping for a roofer, a carpenter, or somebody. So when I told him I was a pastor, he just kind of looked at me for a moment. And I don't think he was bothered that I was a pastor. I think he liked that idea, but he was real concerned about his roof, which he should have been. However, the rest of the week, he just called me preacher. He forgot my name. I was just preacher for the rest of the week. Well, as I shared with you, the tin didn't come that day. And so on our way back to the center, we stopped at the hardware store and saying, you know, the roof is open. We need to get started on this. When's the tin going to come in? And he told me the truck had just left, and it was on its way to the site. And I said, that's great. And it arrived there that night. I was okay with that. The next day we got to the site. We talked to the family for a while. You just don't jump in and start working because it's about relationships. It's about faith. We talked to the family. Then we counted all the pieces of tin. Green tin. 9-foot sections that went on the bottom of the roof. It wasn't a straight roof straight up. It was in two levels like this. We had 9-foot sections here. And we measured 7-foot sections up there. We measured it, we counted it, make sure we had everything. And in between, there's a valley, which we had to put a flat piece of tin that connected to each side. Sounds simple, right? And I was told, when they sent that tin out, don't worry, they will send you directions. And they did. And here's what they said. Manuals are available for weather tile panels. Manuals, that's what I was interested in. These manuals deal with accessory and detailing and general requirements. Putting the roof on is illustrated in our trim manual, which you can request from us. That's what I got. Anything else come? No, nothing else came. So we looked, and it looks pretty simple, right? Put tin on a roof, bottom first, top goes over it. You put it in the right place, you get the tin in the right place, it's okay. The struggle is getting in the right place, to making sure you do that. Everything seemed to be okay, because soon after that, the staff from the Appalachian Service Project came, and the construction advisor with them, who'd worked with them for 3 summers. He knew what he was talking about. You know, they've always known. I've had real good experience with them. So he came, he got out of the van, he came over and talked to me. We looked at the roof, and he said, "Well, let's go up and look at it." We walked up there, and we sat down. And he said, "You know, I've done a lot of stuff with ASP, but I've never done a tin roof." Okay. I said, "Well, what do I do?" And he said, "Well, you want to kind of square it on the edge to make sure you get the right piece, the first piece on right, then you're okay. It goes right." And I said, "Well, how do I square that to get that first piece on?" And he goes, I don't know. "Do the best you can. 2 inches on the side, 2 inches on the front." Okay. We can do that. And then he tells me 6 things I should not do, just in case and it's hard not to do those, he said, but don't do those things, because if you do, they're going to have major leaks in their house. Thank you very much. And then they leave. They leave. We put on a fly rafter at the end of the house to put the tent on. We put that on, and then before I start drilling anything in, we take those sheets up, we put them on the roof, the 9-foot section, the 7-foot section, and it appears like they're too long. They overlap, and they're not supposed to, unless my understanding. And then I bring that little valley piece up, and we put it on, and it looks like if you put the tent on with a flat piece, you have these corrugated things, and there's a hole where the rain can go right in. It doesn't, even to the preacher, it doesn't make sense. So we take the tent off. It's about 3 o'clock. And what do you do when you struggle? You go home. That's what we did. What else could we do? The staff person who came to me said, you know, when you come back to the center, I'll get you a manual so then you can read up on it. And I said, that was great. End of Tuesday, we leave the work site. And I just want to know, did you know that pastors have tempers too? Did you know that? Yeah? Okay. Well, they do. Because I went in the office and I was a little hot. I mean, it's 2 days. The roof is open. If a storm comes, they are in big trouble. And I said, I haven't got any directions. I've been real patient, you know. And he says, well, we're going to get directions for you. And I said, well, good. You know, where are they coming from? He says, well, I've called a friend in California at a site, and he's going to fax me those directions. Okay. We'll see if they show up. Fortunately, they did. And it was about 40 to 50 pages of stuff of how to put on this roof. I sat down and I started reading over the stuff. And those on the ASP work crew know I never do that. They thought I was a little crazy. And the last time I looked, guess when the last time I looked at construction instructions? Never. I've never done that. But I was smart enough to figure out that there was a piece of foam that was supposed to go in those holes that was missing, that the place didn't deliver it. Next morning I go. I stop at the shop and I say, we didn't get this piece. Oh, you didn't? You're supposed to have it. I know we are. Can we have it now? We get those. We go out to the site and everything looks good. It looks like it's not going to fit. They've told me it's cut to fit. I won't have to cut a thing. I'm okay with that. We got everything set. We put a piece of tin up there, 2 inches on the side, 2 inches on the front. We drill it in. I get off the roof and look at it and it's beautiful. It was so beautiful, we got another piece of tin. We went up on the roof, we drilled it in. I got off the roof then, 2 pieces of tin, and they looked beautiful. I was ready to quit for the day. And it was a big roof, or a fairly good-sized roof, as you could tell. We were set. I was ready to finish the whole thing. And then suddenly, a big old truck pulls up. The kind of truck that burns like 3 gallons to the mile. You know what I'm talking about? A big old construction truck. And a guy gets out. And he says, I heard you were putting on a roof and you may need some advice. You're right about that. He says, well, let's go up on the roof and take a look at it. And it turned out it was the owner of the hardware store. He not only owned that hardware store, he owned a whole distribution of metal shops. And he was doing very well in his life, financially, really well. We went up on the roof, and the first thing he did is he looked at the 2 pieces there, and he immediately identified what I was doing wrong and how I should fix it. I can deal with that. I had to cut a piece and put a board in. We're okay with that. We talked about that for a while, and he said, you know, it's going to be hard to cut. If you bring it back to my shop, I'll cut it for you. We can do that as well. And so we talked about that, and then he says, you know, why are you here? And I told him that we were at church and that I'm a minister, and he said, well, and I said, we're Methodist. And he apologized. He said he was a Baptist. But he liked the Methodist preacher in town, is what he said. But we talked, and then he talked to the gentleman who owned the house. It turned out that the gentleman's father and this gentlemen knew each other. They worked with each other for a while, you know, and they talked about the days. They talked about their family, how their families were doing. They talked about his brother, the guy who was on the house with me. And I talked to him about his brother. And it turns out his brother had the same kind of struggles my brother had. And we shared that on the roof. Finally, he came down and the gentleman talked more. He got acquainted and he said, you know, I haven't been up this road for 20 years. It's good to be up here. And he leaves. I'm set. I know what I'm doing. I cut a little piece. I put a board in. We're ready to go. It's going to fit. And then 15, 20 minutes later, a truck pulls up. 2 guys get out of the truck. One guy, real long hair, work hat. You know, he works hard for a living. He gets out, I go over to him, and I said, you know, this gentleman was just here. And he said, yeah, he's my boss. And he just called me. I was on my lunch break. And I was working in an air-conditioned shop today. Okay. He wants me to come over and take a look at here. And I said, okay. And so He starts up, doesn't say anything, goes up the ladder. I follow him. We get up there. He immediately tells me what I'm doing wrong also, but it's something different than what the other guy told me. And I said, well, your boss, the guy just told me this is what I needed to fix. And this guy says, he didn't know what he's talking about. I'm the one that does this for a living. So already I know two or three mistakes I've made, and I don't know what to do now. He says, this is what you need to do. Okay, we can deal with that. But then he pulls a string out, wrapped around a board. It's just a string. And this is how you square a roof. For all you guys on the crew who don't know, I can tell you now. He pulls a string out. Then he looks at half the roof where plastic is on. And he says, get that stuff off there. He's going to help. He doesn't need to tell me twice. That plastic starts flying off. Them two by I'm on the roof by myself. Them 2x4s are flying off. I'm lucky I didn't kill somebody on my crew. Because I didn't want him to get the idea he's going to leave. The sooner I can get him to start, the better. We get that off of there. I sit with him and start. You know, he starts, he gets the tin comes up, the guy sends it to him, the tin comes up, he starts screwing it in. And finally he comes to me and says, do you have any caulk? Because you need to do caulk to this. And I said, well, we didn't bring any caulk. We didn't know we were supposed to. And then he said, well, he put the valley piece up and he said, do you have any roofing tacks? Because you need to use roofing tacks to put this in. And I said, well, we didn't bring any roofing tacks. So he's taking them off his truck. And he's a little ticked off. His boss called. It's his lunch break. He was sitting in air conditioning. And he says, well, do you have a hammer on you? And I left my hammer on the ground because we came up quick. So he had to get a hammer. Do you have a tape measure? I didn't have a tape measure. And, you know, I just know I'm going to be thrown off this roof anytime soon. I know it's going to happen. He's going to leave any moment. We get halfway across the roof. I'm helping him hold a piece of tin down as he screws it in and finally says, so what brings you to Tennessee? And I knew that was an important question. I knew if I didn't answer that well, he was going to leave and I may get hurt, one or the other. So I told him that we were with a church group. This is what we do and this is how we do it. We've done it for a long time. And I try, you know, you keep going. The more I keep talking, I figure the more he's going to keep working, we're okay. But finally, I run out of things to say. And he's still not smiling. And then I gambled. I gambled on humor. And I said, well, I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but none of us at this work site are trained carpenters. And he chuckled. He was connected. He chuckled and then he smiled. And then he complained about the guy he was working with. And then he complained about my work crew, what they were doing. You know, and we talked a little bit. I asked him where he was from, and he was from Ohio, a great state. He was from Ohio, and then we talked about how he had traveled around. When he finished putting the tin on that he had to put on, he measured the upper section, and he said, you know, this piece is too long. You need to cut about 12, 14 inches off of this. And not only did he tell me that, he cut three pieces for me before he left. And we said on the end of that roof, he lit up a cigarette. And then we started talking, and he told me he was from Ohio. He said he had three daughters, and I said I had three sons. I invited him to the picnic that we were having later that week, and he didn't make it to that. But he also talked about his life. And I said, how did you end up here? And he talked about struggles in his life. And he talked about how in his life he had the same kind of struggles I've had in my life. For those of you who know me, you know what those are about. I just met him. He was ready to throw me off the roof. But we connected with what we were doing, and suddenly we're talking in a human kind of way. We came down off that roof. And just to let you know how crazy that day was, 4 o'clock when we're packing up to leave, four more guys show up that the boss had sent to work on the roof. You know, I wish they'd have spread them out because they never came back. But as me and this one gentleman, Kelly, came off the roof, we walked over to his truck, we shook hands in mutual respect. And he wished me luck. He looked at me in the roof like there's no way you're going to finish that, Pastor. But also he did ask me. He said, when he finished the tin and we sat down and he had that smoke, he said, so you got a name? And I said, well, you've heard the gentleman here call me preacher. And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I've heard that. I know you're preacher. But preachers have names too. So you got a name? I told him mine. He told me his. And then that's when we started talking. It was an amazing experience. An amazing connection. I was lost. And he showed up. You know, I wanted to hug him. I'm sure he would have decked me then, but I just wanted to hug this guy. But he smiled when he left. You know, each year when I go on a mission trip, I wonder what it's about. What's the lesson God wants me to know? And I'm always amazed why we continue to go. This, you know, even when we don't advertise to do this trip, we have people show up that want to go. Why would you put yourself through that kind of abuse? And yet, I think for me this year, it's about 10. Please excuse the work crew that came up. It's all I could find. I don't have a tape measure. I was so nervous about doing that. You have no idea. 10. We put on 10 just like this. And let me tell you, it's hard to find in this area. People don't carry 10 very much. I wondered what a trip was about. And I kept thinking, you know, you like letters to explain things. I think, and this is going to be hard to read, I'll say it as I write it. I think it truly was this year about 10. What does it mean for us on ASP? Why do we do what we do? We like to help each other, yes. We like to have fun together, yes. But it's much more than that. There's something we get when we go. Almost every year I go, especially somebody who's new says, you know, I went down to help them, but I got more than I gave. Can I get an amen to that? I get more than I gave. And if you're getting more, then you've got a need. And I think what it's about is we come together. This isn't going to work very well. We come together in our need, not in our strength. When we come here as church, we don't come here and brag that, you know, we got a good theology, we do a lot of good things, we know a lot. We come here and we give our need to God because we have need. And if that's why we come to worship, that's why we come. When we come and do an Appalachian Service Project, we come together in our need, and when we share our need with each other, the walls come tumbling down, just like Joshua. And the walls that we have between people are not there anymore. And I think the reason I go over and over again is I am able to connect with people in a way that sometimes I can't in the normal way of things. When we met on that roof in Tennessee this year, there was a pastor that had a need how to get a roof on. That was his need. But we had a family that needed to have their house fixed. We had 58 of us that needed to take the love we have received in Jesus Christ and share that and give that to somebody else. We had the need to do that. Those of us also who went down had the need to connect with somebody on a human level in a mission-type setting. We had a guy who owned a shop who was doing really well financially there. I'm talking really well. I mean, I'm talking really well, as he shared with me. I think he had a need to go up that holler and be connected in community to somebody who he knew and hadn't seen in 20 years. And I think that guy that's on the roof with me, I think for a while he had a need to throw me off, to deck this stupid pastor that gets started on something like this. But at the end, I wonder if he didn't have a need to share himself with somebody. And maybe he had a need to know, you know, pastors and churches just aren't about Sunday morning talk. They're about doing something. And I wonder what God will do with that. I think in ASP, we don't go because we are the strong people. I think we go because we have a need to connect in Jesus Christ to others. And it's easy down there. It's hard here sometimes in your own life to connect to others in your need. Think about it for a moment. Think about the need perhaps that you have. Think about something in your heart or soul that's not just it's clicking, not just right. Something that really bothers you or keeps you up at night. Do you share that with God, or have you been able to share that with anybody else? Christ asks us to share our need when we come together. You know, in the gospel lesson today, Jesus heals two people. He heals a daughter of a rich ruler. And he didn't ask the ruler, are you being a just ruler? Are you treating people okay? There's healing to be done. And he crosses over any kind of lines or walls that are there and heals that daughter. There's a poor woman that's been outcast because of her bleeding. Nobody is her friend. And he crosses over that line and says, I don't care if anybody's your friend. I'm not going to ask if it's your fault because you're poor. He just heals. Because the need is presented to Jesus. When we go, the need is presented. And we are open to give our need. And grace happens. That's all I can say. This is the first year it's happened for two trained workmen in my experience. But grace happens. So this week I want you to think of two things to do. First of all, name your need to God in prayer. Make that a habit. At our Redeemers, we say we pray for peace every day. We want to do that. But name your need in prayer to God. Just share it and let God do what God does. But secondly, find a relationship of mutual need that you may have or you can develop. Not someplace where you can just help somebody. Because if you're in a relationship where you're just doing the help and you're not getting anything back, what can that turn into? Patronizing. We are better than you. Because I can help you and you can't help me. Look at relationships of mutual need. That's the power of what we do. Because when we give ourselves in the humanity of our need, God shows up. Or God becomes evident. And love and grace just flow. Pray. Give your need. And a relationship of mutual respect and mutual help. And God will be part of your life. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you in ways that you touch our life. We thank you that we can give you our need in prayer or in worship. And we thank you that there are those around us who we can share our need with and from whom we can gain support and strength. We ask that we continue to grow in those ways of grace. Help us share our need in prayer with you, but also help us strengthen those relationships of mutual need, that in that your grace might flow. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.